بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أنا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال شيخ الإسلام المصنف رحمه الله تعالى، ونحن ما زلنا نتباحث ونتدارس فيما بين أنفسنا نواقض الإسلام، وهي الأمور التي تخرج الإنسان من دائرة الإسلام إذا توفرت فيه وعليه الشروط والموانع التي تكلمنا عنها. أنت معي يا أخي؟
الحمد لله.
قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى: مظاهرة المشركين ومعاونتهم على المسلمين، ودليل ذلك قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. بإمام الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب، may Allah تعالى have mercy upon him, he said in his book concerning the nawaqid of al-Islam that we've been dealing with, and the nawaqid of al-Islam are those things that will put a person outside of the realm of al-Islam. And we are number 8 in explaining his book. And the 8th thing that he mentioned that will put a person outside of Islam is his statement to make the mudahira of the mushrikeen and the mu'awana of those mushrikeen. And the proof of that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: and whoever takes them as a wali, yatawallahum, wa man yatawallahum fa innahum minkum. فإنه منهم ومن يتولاهم منكم فإنه منهم. The ayah is Allah's statement, and whoever takes the kuffar as friends and may seek from them help or protection, then verily that person is from them. And then the ayah went on to say, verily Allah does not guide the people who are zalimin, they are oppressed. So the end of that ayah clearly states and shows that the Muslim who takes the kuffar as his protector, as his friend, as his awliya, and he makes the wala for them and towards them, then he's from the people who are zalimin, and Allah Ta'ala does not give any hidayah or any guidance to the zalimin. Nas'al Allah al-afiyah wa salama. Mudahara, ikhwan, to have the mudahara of the mushrikeen, the meaning of mudahara is al-munafara, to help them, to try to give them the assistance to make their statements and their positions uppermost and foremost. Any of these actions are from the actions of kufr and disbelief. If a person doesn't, knowing and understanding what he's doing, he goes outside of the realm of al-Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated the raising of the kalimat al-tawheed and the helping of the kalimat al-tawheed. And this person is coming, making an attempt to put over the kalima to tawheed, the kalima of al-kufr wal-shirk wal-khurafat wal-ilhad wal-inhiraf wal-bid'ah. So for this reason, they are considered to be from those people who are oppressive, and they are also considered to be of those people who go outside of the realm of al-Islam. And you won't find, ikhwan, people giving the munafara and the mudahara and the mu'awana of the mushrikeen. You won't find Muslims doing that except for one or two reasons. The first reason, that Muslims give assistance to the kuffar and they try to help the kuffar over the Muslims, is because of something from the dunya. He finds that he's going to get some dunya position or some dunya fa'idah or some maslaha that's going to make his dunya okay. As we're going to mention, insha'Allah ta'ala, when we give you some examples of how the people give this mudahara to the kuffar. So that's the first reason, that the Muslim finds there's something that's going to benefit his dunya, so therefore he raises the kuffar in stature more than what they need to be, or more than what they deserve to be, more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. And the second reason, and this is usually the case, is because of their ignorance of al-Islam. The fact that a person does not read about Islam and does not allow the faith or the iman to be planted in his heart to the degree where he understands what is al-wala and what is al-bara, and to know that this is from the asool of al-Islam. Some of the scholars have considered al-wala wal-bara to be the sixth pillar of al-Islam. They consider al-wala wal-bara to be the sixth pillar of al-Islam. We understand why they say that. We know that there are only five pillars of al-Islam, as the hadith of Umar, or Abdullah ibn Umar, clearly defines. Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Al-Islam has been built upon five things. Anyone out in the nation, the shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, to establish the salah, to give the zakat, to fast in Ramadan, and to make the hajj to the house. When some of the tabi'een heard Abdullah ibn Umar say that hadith, one of the men said to him, what? He said, what is jihad? He said, what about the jihad? How you going to mention those five? What about jihad being the sixth pillar? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he said, al-jihad khayr, walakin hakadha haddathana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the jihad is good, but what I just told you, the five pillars, that's what the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not befitting for anyone after that to come and to say the sixth pillar. There is a famous personality from the Ikhwan al-Muslimin who we ask Allah ta'ala to have mercy upon him. نتراحم على إخواننا ولا نخرجهم من دائرة الإسلام. We have mercy upon all of the Muslims, even the deviants from amongst them. We hope that Allah forgive them, and we hope that Allah Ta'ala has mercy upon them. There was one of the leaders of the da'wah of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin by the name of Abdullah ibn Azam. He was from Assam, from Palestine. He was one of the foremost participators in the jihad in Afghanistan. The jihad that Allah Ta'ala at one time had gave honor to the ummah, and that he let the Muslims go and participate with those kuffar, and they were killed and they were killed. And they sold their souls for Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala purchased their souls, and inshallah they'll get their reward in Jannah. Anyway, the Sheikh Abdullah ibn Azam, rahmatullahi alayhi, he had wrote a book in which he said, al-jihad al-rukm al-sadis min Islam, al-jihad the sixth pillar of al-Islam. And he went as far as to claim that the jihad was the most important pillar of al-Islam. Why? Because some of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could and would suggest that, like the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, in the long hadith, but the part that concerns us now is his statement, alayhi salatu wassalam, ra'su al-amr al-islam, wa umuduhu al-salat, wa zuhratu salamuhu al-jihad fi sabilillah. The head of this affair is al-islam, and its pillar is al-salat, and the uppermost portion, zuhratu salam. Do you know what zuhratu salam is, akhi?
It's just
Now, literally, what is it, Abu Ala?
the
peak of the camel, the highest part on the camel's back. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the highest part, the highest portion of this affair is al-jihad. So they take that hadith and they say this shows that jihad is more important than anything else in Islam. We say, kalla wallahi. There's no jihad for a mushrik. A person who doesn't understand kalimat al-tawheed, if he makes jihad al-jahl, not understanding, making shirk with Allah, fala jihad lahu. There's no jihad for the person who's not praying. There's no jihad for the person who's not making the zakat, and he's supposed to be making the zakat. There's no jihad for the person who leaves off these other pillars of Islam. What do I mean by that? It's simple. People wait until the month of Ramadan and they want to stand up to pray the Taraweeh. Wallahi thumma billahi thumma tallahi. Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory upon them the five prayers to be made in every day. Do you think that you're going to leave those which are obligatory and then come to do the Taraweeh and Allah Ta'ala is going to accept it? Wallahi illa la nata'ala ala Allah. We're not going to be like that man who said, wallahi Allah is never going to forgive you. But we have text and proof to show, wallahi Allah is not going to accept the Taraweeh of a man who doesn't pray the Fard Salah. You have to do the Fard before you can do the Sunnah. And you can't let the obligation go past in trying to complete and trying to do that which is Sunnah. Anyway, the point that we want to make, Ikhwan, is that those scholars of Islam in the past, they used to say that this particular thing was the sixth pillar in showing its importance. So they would say, Al-Wala wal-Bara is the Rukn al-Sadis. Or they would say, Al-Jihad fi sabilillah is the Rukn al-Sadis. Or they would say, Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf, Al-Wallahu al-Munkar is the Rukn al-Sadis. But for someone to come and to add to what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to subtract from what he said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, is oppression and is ignorance. It's oppression and it's ignorance. So the second reason why people came to have this muzahara toward the kuffar and toward the kuffar is because of their ignorance of the religion. Not knowing the position that al-Islam has placed on this most important principle, to be free, far away, and to have the hatred for the kuffar, and to have the allegiance and the brotherhood and the muhabba and the respect towards the believers and the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran in this ayah in Surah Al-Nahl, ayah number 106. ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة وأن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. But instead, when he's talking about the kufr of the people, he said the person whose heart is open to disbelief, the person who his heart has accepted disbelief, kufr, that person, the anger of Allah will be upon him and they will get a grievous and tremendous punishment. That's because they love and they prefer that from the dunya over the akhirah. And verily Allah does not guide the people who are disbelievers. So that's a clear proof of what we're trying to show, that the people who make the istihbab of the dunya over the akhirah, they're the people who their hearts are open. Now I mention this ayah for a very important reason, and that's as we always do in the very beginning of the class, we want to reiterate and emphasize and stress this point over and over and over again, and that is, any time you see a person falling into one of these things that the Imam, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, anytime you see a person falling into one of these things, then I warn you again of being oppressive and pronouncing kufr on that person. No, as the ayah said, but the one whose heart is open to kufr, he has clearly accepted it and embraced it, and he knows what he's doing, that's the person who goes outside of al-Islam, and that's the person who is doing this action that he described out of ignorance, or out of compulsion, or out of just making a mistake. We have to be careful of that, and I don't want any class to go by without touching upon that and making very clear. Now what we want to discuss, Ikhwan, are some of the manifestations of our having a wala to the kuffar. And this is why we say we have to be careful about pronouncing a takfir on people, because in actuality, most of us, if not all of us, fall into one or another manifestation of al-mawala to the kuffar. So we want to give you some thought, some ways that people have al-mawala to the kuffar. You have al-Yahi Abu Ala. Give us an example. Now, to imitate them is one of the manifestations of having this allegiance to them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam told us in that clear hadith that we all memorize, and it's also a pretty long hadith, the end of it, وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمًا فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever resembles a people, he is from those people. He is from those people. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala wrote that tremendous book in which he was warning the people about being similar to the kuffar, the iqtida, salat al-mustaqim. He said that any time that you find people being conquered by another people, those ones who were defeated and who were conquered, most of the time they're going to resemble and copy the people who conquered them. And he gave some warnings and some signs that you have to look for and you have to be aware of. But the point that we want to make is, one of the reasons why we say that brothers should try their best to hold on to the Islamic dress is for this reason, to establish very clear to the kuffar, this is the line between us and between you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, every opportunity he used to get, he used to take advantage of that opportunity to make a distinction between him and the kuffar of Mecca, the kuffar of Medina, to the point that the Jews used to get upset. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the Jews didn't part their hair, he would part his hair. If the Jews did this thing that way, he would do it the other way. He used to look at the sky and he used to hope and he used to pray to Allah Ta'ala to change the Qibla from Jerusalem, just to be different than the Jews, not to follow their way, to be out other than their way. They used to not pray in their hoofs. He used to pray and he used to order the people to pray in their hoofs. They used to not make the mukhalafah with their women. They used to not mix with their women if their women came on their menses. He used to tell them, no, mix with the women. Every opportunity he used to get to be different from them, he used to be different from them. They were trim their beards. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the men, grow your beards, trim your mustaches. Everything, to the point that those Jews said, wallahi, this man, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never ever found the muwafaqa. He never found us doing the same thing, agreeing on something, the Muslims and the Jews, except that he changed it. And he was upset over that issue. So that's part of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So we say to the people, it's not the thawb in and of itself that we place so much emphasis on, but it's those other aspects that we want brothers to try to comprehend, that we want to be different from those people, just as our woman has to be different. Right away, the Muslim woman, she has to be different. And she has to have some inner strength about herself. That if she's going to come out in public, she cannot acquiesce and she can't be a person who's going to compromise. She has to wear what has been legislated right from the beginning. So we should also give them more encouragement to say, look, I'm just as strong as you, sister, if not stronger, and I'm going to establish my Islam. Now, that doesn't mean that people who wear pants and people who wear shirts, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that that is haram. I don't know anybody from the scholars who say that pants and shirt are haram in and of itself, except the people who are mutashaddidun, and they're not from the ulama that I know of. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying whenever we have an opportunity, when we come to the masjid, when we come to Friday prayer, anytime we can get away from our jobs, when people don't expect us to dress like that, we should try to dress like that. And if not, we shouldn't make fun at people who dress like that. And we shouldn't look at them as being someone who is mutakhallaf. He's backwards. He's against going forward. He's against making advancement. Allah Ta'ala is going to put those kuffar in the hellfire, and one of the reasons, as he said in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. That's because they hate what Allah revealed. That's from the religion. It's from the religion that we can't hate. thobes and izars in the Muslim dress. Anybody else want to give us another example of how we have the muwala in our actions to the kuffar?
There is a hadith of Rasulullah that
says that we shouldn't be giving the salam to them, or when they say it, we have to answer them with a certain way. This is correct, that we shouldn't give salam, but these are one of the things that we're going to mention later on, inshallah, in the end of the darf, about the sunan, the way that Islam came to make the distinction and to make the qata of any way of reading up to us giving them the mawala and the love. Now, we're not looking for things that Islam told us to be different from them. For an example, what we're looking for, as the brother said, resembling them in the way we dress, in the way we behave. Another example of that is to live with them. To live with people is a form of telling those people, I find you okay. I see you as being a person that I want to mix with. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said, من جامع المشرك وسكن معه فإنه مثله. Whoever lives with a mushrik. من جامع المشرك. You know, he's living with him, he's mixing with him. And he lives with him, he chooses to live with him, he is like him. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said, ألا بريء من كل مسلم يقيم بين أظهر المشركين لا تتراءى ناراهما. I am free. I free myself. I am establishing al-bara' as opposed to establishing al-wala'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am free of every single Muslim who chooses to live with the mushrikeen. It's an amazing thing, wallahi, that I hear many of the younger brothers and the younger sisters when they come into Islam. You hear them trying to make a way to make hijrah. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them to make hijrah. The thing that's strange is not that people want to make hijrah. That's from Islam, to want to make hijrah, to find a place, a ma'wa, where you can go and you can live your Islamic life under the laws of Islam. We were just speaking about the issue of making the salah in the masjid. Is it wajib or is it not wajib? And what about the issue of the person who doesn't hear the nidah? He doesn't hear the adhan. Wallahi, during the course of the day, none of us hear the adhan, except those people who are in the masjid when they open up the masjid for the salah. So when the salah time comes, no one hears the adhan, not a single person. So that means that the overwhelming majority of the Muslims who live here in Orlando, they shouldn't pray in the masjid. Then the salah in the masjid, la 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 la, it doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. And we were speaking about how in the Muslim country, no matter how out of it they are, like in Syria, like in Lebanon, even in Beirut that has been destroyed, wherever you find the Muslims, you're going to find the masajid, and you're going to find the adhan, and you're going to find the sha'air of al-Islam, you're going to find those institutions of al-Islam still qa'ima. No doubt about that. To the point where if you go to the Khalid, the Gulf, like Mecca or Medina, traveling from Mecca to Medina, on the way you have signs that say, Ukurullah, Istaghfirullah. So while you're driving, you see the sign, automatically you're going to say, Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, La ilaha illallah. And even though you only say it once or twice, depending on what your situation is, it's better than what you see in these societies. When you drive down, you see a billboard telling you, buy khamr, smoke cigarettes, buy this mattress, and you'll have a naked woman on the mattress. That's what we have in the Christian society. So when people choose to live with these people, it's a form of them saying, no, we see what you're doing as being acceptable to a certain degree, even if I don't agree, I see it, that's what I'm for here. So it's strange when people look at brothers and sisters who want to make hijrah and they say, you backwards. You have a PhD and you don't want to stay in America? What's wrong with you? You have some khalil in your mukh. You're a mukhlis. Not mukhlis like you have ikhlas. Mukhlis. You don't have any mukh whatsoever. This is what people say. But in fact, this is a very important issue. People who tend to want to remain with the people, the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are two fires, the fire of the Muslim and the fire of the mushrik, they cannot coexist. one of them going to have an impact and an effect on the other. So with that being the case, people should try their best to make it so that under these circumstances that we're living in right now, why do everyone choose to live by 436 or by Cimarron Boulevard? One of the main reasons is so that we can at least minimize the evil that we are, you know, being subjected to, and we try to live together or around each other. So that's another example. Another example, Ikhwan, is for a person to love the religion of those mushrikeen. There is clear ijma' from the ulama of al-Islam, a consensus, to love the religion of the mushrik is kufr. And it's disbelief that is of the highest form, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. All of those ayat that establish that the religion to Allah Ta'ala and with Allah is al-Islam, how is someone going to come now? That's the kufr that you go outside of al-Islam. Whereas when you make the mawala of living with them, it doesn't take you outside of al-Islam. It's from the disbelief that is from the actions, but it doesn't take you outside of Islam. But to love their way of life. Another unfortunate manifestation of the mawala that the people have to the kuffar is what we see in the Muslim countries, and that is when the Muslim governments allow the kuffar to come in to work there. They work as doctors, they work as muhandis, engineers, or whatever. And many times they make more money than the Muslims, and they get more honor and more respect than the Muslims. In Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian, he makes a lot of money. The Muslim is from Egypt. The Muslim who's from Pakistan, who's a doctor, the Muslim who's from Sudan, they make okay money, but let a non-Muslim from America or Britain or France, but especially America or Britain, let them come and work in a job. They practically put their necks down on the floor for those people. One of our sisters who made Hijra to Egypt, as our Sheikh Abu Hassan Usama Al-Qusi told us, may Allah Ta'ala preserve him. He said that the brother's wife had said, I never knew that there were so many Christians in Egypt. Why? Because she was a Muslim, and when she went to Egypt, she thought that you just had all of the Muslims on the street and you have a few kuffar. But when she saw that many of the women were mutabarrijat, they didn't have any clothes, because she's a brand new Muslim, she thought that there were people who were Coptics. And she said, out of it amazed me, I never knew that there were so many Christians in Egypt. So when it was told that those people were, you know, Muslims, they just didn't dress right, we don't put them outside of Islam, she went to a school and she started mixing with the people, and then she found how in the school where she was going, the kuffar teachers used to make more money and used to be treated better than the Muslim teachers. This is one of the signs of the mawala that's not permissible in al-Islam, and we find it in every single Muslim country. When I mention Egypt, I don't want to specify Egypt because we have Egyptian people, but those brothers know for a fact that that's what you find. And the more money that the country has, the higher the country is in terms of technology and in terms of what Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with, the more honor and respect you're going to find them giving to those kuffar, to those disbelievers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them low and the Muslims choose to make them high. And the ayat that Allah Ta'ala mentioned concerning the evil of respecting them in our country, like the statement of Allah Ta'ala, فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضْ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَى أَنْ تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ فَعَسَى اللَّهَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ فَيُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا أَسَرُّوا فِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ نَادِمِينَ. The ayah that Allah Ta'ala said, you see those people who have a disease in their heart. الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرْضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. They race to do good by those people, those kuffar, to help them, to give them respect and honor. So you see those people who have a disease in their hearts, and the disease that they have is kufr. The disease that they have is shak. The disease that they have is to love the kuffar, to love the dunya. All of those are the amrad that are in the hearts of those people, who you see them racing to honor and to respect those disbelievers. They say, we are afraid that difficulty is going to surround us. Allah Ta'ala went on to say in their response, why did they say, look, if we don't bring this kuffar over to do this and this, we're not going to be able to take the oil out of the ground. We're not going to be able to get the technology. If we don't do this or this, the President of the United States will be upset with us. Congress is going to be upset with us. Wallahi, they have diseases in their heart. All of them. Without an exception. Wallahi, I don't make takfir of those hukam, all of them. I don't make takfir of them. Some of them, we make takfir of them because the ulama make takfir of them. Their kufr is clear. But there is not an exception from amongst those leaders of the Muslims except that it's clear that they are du'afa. They are weak in their Islam. They are weak in their shakhsiyat. They are weak in their rajula. All of that. So I find it another amazing issue that many of our brothers who understand that we shouldn't make takfir, at the same time they think not making takfir means defending those criminals. How are you going to defend those criminals? Wallahi, to defend those criminals is a crime. Those hukam. Instead, we hate them for Allah Ta'ala, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to make the affair, to change it around and to make it better, so as to help the ummah, or to get rid of them and to replace them with some people who will come in to make the affairs better. Anyway, they say, if we are afraid that the difficulty will befall us if we don't treat them nice, if we're not good to them, if we don't help them, if we don't honor them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I say, it may be that Allah will bring about the fatah, which is the victory, a way out, the victory for the believers, or another affair from himself, and then those people who have those diseases in their hearts, they will become of those who are sorry because of what they insisted on doing. Again, ikhwan, this is the kufr al-amali. This type of mawalat is the disbelief of the actions, and it doesn't put the person outside of al-Islam, the fact that he respects and he honors those kuffar more than what they need to be and more than what they deserve to be honored. Another example, ikhwan, and this is a clear example, is for us to join the army. The armed forces of the kuffar is kufr. And it is a clear form of al-wala, saluting the flag. Our children who go to public schools, we should make a stance and make a point, my child will not salute the flag. Saluting the flag is an example. All of those issues, and we mentioned before, if a Muslim was to go to the post office and he had a choice of buying a stamp that had a roll, a stamp that had a khinzir, a stamp that had a picture of the American flag, which stamp should he pick, Akhi Ashraf? The rule, no doubt about it. He's going to establish the wala right here in the mere picking and the purchasing of a stamp. I'm going to buy the stamp that has the rose or the lily or the apple tree, something that has a ship on it. But if it has the American flag on it, I'm not going to purchase a stamp like that. It has something that al-Islam looks at as being evil, dirty, from the fawahish, like a khazir, like khamr. We're not going to purchase that. He has a choice of choosing a stamp that has a picture of Martin Luther King Jr. or it has a picture of a rocket. He's going to choose the rocket. Martin Luther King is a Catholic from the Ashab al-Nar that we give dawah against him, and his dawah is against the truth, calling people to Christianity, calling people to that which was unnatural, turning the other cheek when they beating you down. Even though we understand the power, Martin Luther King had more fiqh than saying Muslims today. When he told the people, we're not going to engage these people because we're not in a position to engage them. But he made his dawah the dawah of weakness and submitting. We say, no, the dawah of Islam is the dawah of strength. But when we have the ability, that's the difference between the two. His dawah is, I'm going to be non-violent all the time. Nah, this is not from al-Islam. Whoever doesn't make the ghazwa, man mata, walam yaghdu, walam yuhaddith nafsu ala ghazwa, mata ala shawbatin min nifaq. In al-Islam, whoever dies without making a jihad, he never made jihad. He never made the jihad. Nobody speak to himself and encourage himself to make jihad. He died like that. He died on one of the branches of hypocrisy. So we reject that dawah of his, even though we see not engaging these people when we don't have the ability and when the conditions of engaging them have not been fulfilled. So those are some of the manifestations of a shirk. I want to read now, insha'Allah ta'ala, some of the ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the importance of establishing the bara'ah from these people and not establishing the mawalat. There's a scholar who is the great grandson of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, and his name is the Sheikh Sulaiman ibn Abdullah ibn Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He wrote a book, mashallah, in which he brought over 20 proofs of the Quran to show these ayat in the Quran that clearly established that you cannot have the mawalat to these kuffar and how it's kuffar to do so. We're only going to mention a few of them, like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَكُنَّنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah ta'ala said in this ayah, and do not be a helper of Zahir. You know we have Abu Zahira, right? Zahir is a helper. Do not be a helper to the disbelievers. Do not help them on their kufr, on their shirk, on what they're trying to do. Don't give them any help. The other statement is the statement of, and also Zahira can mean what? What's another meaning of Zahira? It's afternoon. The time. Now, it's the afternoon time. The time in which you take the qayyula. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, لا يتخذ المؤمنين الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاة ويحذركم الله نفسه وإلى الله المصير. The believers do not take the kafirs as أولياء over the believers, and whoever does that, he will not be helped by Allah in anything except that he makes the tuqya. The one who takes the kuffar as a friend or a protector, he takes him as a friend using tuqya. If the person does that, then Allah ta'ala inshallah will help you and he'll be on your side. Allah went on to say in this ayah, and Allah warns you his own self, and to Allah is the return, and to Allah is the return. Ikhwan, this issue of a tuqya is important here because it helps us to understand something, and that is a tuqya is to say something to someone and you mean something else in your heart. You say something to someone but you mean something else in your heart. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the evil man wanted to take his wife and he asked, who is this woman? Who is Sarah? Who is she? He said, she's his sister. He didn't say that's my wife, meaning she's my sister in Islam. That's a tuqya. Someone calls on the telephone for you and you're busy, you don't want to talk to that person. You tell your wife, who answers the phone in the kitchen and you're in the bedroom, she says, he's not here right now. Meaning what? He's not right here in front of me right now. But he's here, he's in the room. That's tuqya. A few things concerning the tuqya. First of all, we need to be careful about falling into the tuqya, because the tuqya is from the usul of the Shiite. It's part of their religion, and they say, من لا تقيا له فلا دين له. Whoever doesn't have any tuqya, he doesn't have any religion. That is a principle to the Shiite. But the point that I want to make is, a tuqya is being kind to the kuffar and talking to them in a kind way because you fear their harm. You fear that if you're going to stand up and you're going to be tough and stand on the truth in front of them, you're going to, as a result of that, cause some problems for yourself. I just want to say that sometimes we get calls, like we got a call last week. Actually, the brother was calling almost every day, him and his wife. They had a relative who died on the woman's side, the mother or the father, I don't remember. And they were called every day because they were in a difficult situation. They didn't want to go to the funeral, but in not going to the funeral, there's going to be a lot of problems. The family doesn't understand, why are you disrespecting your own mother? Why are you disrespecting your own dead father? How are you not going to go? And almost every day they will call saying, what can we do? What can we do? The first time that they called, I gave them about 15 minutes of advice, trying to tell them, be patient, don't make them upset with you, give them dawah. If you go, ask them to let you speak. You can talk to them about Islam and tell them, this is going to be the end of everyone's life, so you have to get ready. Give some dawah to Islam and don't push unnecessarily. So I gave them a lot of nasiha. But then they call every day after that, seeking for an answer. So finally, I told them after about 4 or 5 days, listen, the fact of the matter is you're just going to have to draw a line in the sand and take a stand. Because those kuffar are never, ever, ever going to be pleased with what we do. Our parents are never going to be pleased with us at times like this until you jump into their kuffar and you just participate in the funeral and go all out and go for what you know. So what you have to do is be wise, do what Islam allows you to do by taking advantage of their condition, calling them to Islam. If you can go without compromising your religion, then go. Give them dawah. Wallahi, you let one of my relatives die. I'm going to ask them, let me give the talk. As they know I do, then none of them let me do it, so I have a reason not to come. I tell them, you don't respect me by letting me come, so I'm not coming. So they are glad that I don't come. But if they were to die, that's what I tell them. When my brother died, it's a big thing. How are you not going to go to your brother's funeral? I'll go under the condition you let me talk. But they remember the talk that I gave at the family reunion, and they told me, I'm not going to let you talk anymore. So they said, no, I can't come. The point that I want to make, Ikhwan, is going to their funerals and issues like this, we have to just get around, because it's going to be a point where you just can't do what your kuffar relatives want you to do. You just can't do what they want you to do. So this tukya can be having the good, you know, actions with them, or being afraid of the evil that they're going to bring. But we shouldn't compromise our religion. The next statement is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he makes the nidah to the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina aminu la tattakhidu al-yahuda wal-nasara awliya ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. Wa man yatawallahu minkum fa innahu minhum inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimin. Oh, you believe, do not take the Jews or the Christians as awliya. They are awliya of one another because they're kuffar. And whoever takes them as a wali or awliya, then verily he is from them, and Allah Ta'ala does not guide the people who are oppressors. In another ayat of the Quran, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, لا تجد قوم يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه. You will not find a people who believe in Allah on the last day loving those people who have the, you know, enmity and hatred and war. They are at war with Allah and His Messenger, even if they are his fathers or his sons or his ashira, his, you know, his tribe and his relatives, his people from his tribe. Those are the people who have been written in their heart, iman. The people who don't take them as awliya, and Allah has helped them with a spirit that is from Him. So those are some of the ayat of the Quran that clearly cut off for us the da'ira that would allow us to be with those people. So some of the things that Islam has legislated in order to cut off the way between us and between them is that Islam has forbidden and made it haram for the Muslim man to inherit from the kafir person. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يرث المسلم كافرا ولا يرث الكافر مسلما. The believer doesn't inherit from the disbeliever, nor can a kafir inherit from a believer. So if we were to die, it's not permissible for our kuffar relatives to take our money to inherit it, nor if they were to die can we take from them. Also, Islam has made it haram for us to marry the mushrik women. The mushrik women, other than the people of the book, because they have some ahkam that are khas, that are special for them. And even those women, there's strong conditions of marrying them. That is that they have to be not lewd. They have to be the muhsanat. They can't be women who are lewd. If they're Christian women or Jewish women, but they're lewd, you know them to have relationships with men, it's not permissible to marry even them. And those ulama of the past, starting with Umar radiallahu anhu, they used to discourage marrying them, and they used to give fatwa saying that it was haram to marry them if you're going to leave the Muslim girls at night. The Muslim men were going out in the sagarat, in the frontiers, and they were fighting, and many of the Muslim women were becoming widowed, and many of the Muslim women were not getting married, and the Muslim women were marrying the non-Muslim women from the Jews and the Christians. So the ulama used to pass the fatwa that you can't marry those women because now there's a mafsada. They didn't make haram what Allah made halal, but they looked at the maslaha. And sometimes in the maslaha of something, what is halal can be made haram. And what is haram can be made halal because of the maslaha. And we have too many examples of that. Too many examples of that. And we have the companion Umar radiallahu anhu doing that so many times in his khilafah. Like the divorce. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and during the khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and during the beginning of the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. If a man said to his wife, you're divorced, it was only counted as one time. But during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when people started to come into al-Islam from the Persians and the non-Arabs, they started to play with the religion. And Allah Ta'ala was there be ayat, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُدُوَى. Do not take the signs of Allah as a joke. He revealed that concerning the issue of divorce, marriage and divorce. People started pronouncing this three divorces in one sitting, and then Umar رضي الله عنه, he started making it count as three. If you divorced a woman three times like that, he made it count. And it wasn't like that before during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And we have so many examples of that during his khilafah and some of the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, al-Islam has made it haram for us to go and to make the istighfar from the kuffar. I got a question today, and that was, is it permissible for us to make dua for a kafir? That a kafir was to ask you, hey, make dua for me. Yeah, it's perfectly permissible for you to make a dua for the kafir as long as you don't ask for something that's not permissible. And as long as he has breath in his body, as long as he's alive, you can ask dua for him. As long as he's living, and there's a chance that he makes tawbah and comes to Islam, you can make dua for the kafir. You can make dua for the kafir. But once he dies, you can't make any dua for him. And you can't go to his grave, and you can't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the kuffar, whether you're asking him at the grave, over the grave. So those are some of the ways in which we have been informed not to do this. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Ahkam al-Zimma, in which he talks about the rules and regulations concerning those Christians and the Jews who are subjugated to the power of the Muslims living under the Muslim rule and Muslim lands, he has said, and he brought that narration, that Umar radiallahu anhu went to make the istislam of the keys to Jerusalem. And when he went there, he went and he had a discussion with some monks, some preachers, with the Jews and the Christians in one of their churches or their synagogues, and the Adhan went off and it was time for the Salat for those people, and for the Muslims, the Adhan went off, and they were having a discussion, and they said, why don't you pray here, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? And Umar radiallahu anhu refused to pray there, and making an attempt to show the Muslims, this is not something that we want to become a part of our religion. No, we are distinct from these people. We don't pray where they pray. We don't sell their crosses. That's another thing I wanted to mention. When we love their religion, one form and manifestation of having the mawala to the kuffar is for you to sell a cross, or for you to sell Halloween paraphernalia, or Christmas paraphernalia. Santa Claus, reindeers, Christmas trees. A man who goes and he purchases a bunch of Christmas trees and he starts to sell the Christmas trees, saying, I don't believe in this Christianity, I don't believe in Christmas and all that, I just want to make money. We say, Akhi Wallahi, that's a part of Mawala to those kuffar. Similar to that is a brother, he goes to the Nation of Islam, the Million Man March in Washington, D.C., and he wants to sell bean pies. Or he wants to sell clothes. He chooses that place specifically where they're going to go in order to mislead the people from the way of Allah. It's like a big extravagant type of program going on. No, I'm not saying you can't go and sell to kuffar. There's a marketplace that mostly is being visited by kuffar. I'm not saying you can't go to that marketplace. If you go to sell there, you are selling and helping the kuffar. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, when you have a place like the Million Man March, for an example, you know that it's going to get a lot of public attention. And you know because of that, those people are going to be leading people away from the way of Islam. For you to go to take the istiglal, to take advantage of that type of situation just to make money. We say, la ya akhi, this is a form of al-mawala that we shouldn't do, and it's similar to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that's in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the people who the earth is going to swallow them up يوم القيامة فيخصف بأولهم وآخرهم. فقالت عائشة يا رسول الله كيف يخصف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس منهم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عائشة يخصف بأولهم وآخرهم ثم يبعثون على نياتهم. It's going to happen. All of them are going to be swallowed up, the good and the bad, all of them. And then they're going to be raised according to their what? According to their niyyah. So the fact that you're there participating in the Ahl al-Dalala and the Ahl al-Zayr and the Ahl al-Kufr and Shirk, because you're present with them, one of the fawa'id of the hadith is مخالفتهم تستلزم العقوبة. Being with them, you get the عقوبة. So if you guys have any questions, inshallah. What's the ayat لا يسيبن الذين ظلموا منهم خاصة? What's the ayat at the beginning of it? واتقوا فتنة والتقوا فتنة. What's the ayat? Yeah, that's it. واتقوا فتنة لا تسيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة. يعني أنا الذي هو موجود مع الظالم إذا ما أخذ بيده قد يأخذه الله تعالى بسكوته. They have that saying in Arabic, they say السكوت السلامة أو في السكوت سلامة. Be quiet, you're safe. You won't make any noise, don't make any, don't say anything, you'll be okay. لا, this in Islam is a foreign concept, if you have the ability to change it. نعم أخي.
We see in some of the kuffar countries more religious freedom than our country. We cannot, for example, participate in some countries in deaths or do da'wah, and if we try to do that, we are targeted by the authorities.
Now, so doctor, that's true.
And so what is going to, I mean, if somebody comes here and sees there is a freedom and he can participate in doing his religion and trying to make da'wah to other people, what is the situation here? And how would we try to avoid try to make wala and bara in a country, and our country we're having a lot of problems.
Yeah, let me say that it's an ideal situation. You gotta make hijrah too today. Everywhere where you want to make hijrah, there are a lot of problems. Even the abna of that balad are going to experience a lot of problems. So what about the ajanib? It's even worse for them. So we don't say to the people, look, just use your heads and just make hijrah and just be mutalakhbat and just go like that without any system, without any program. I don't say that to people. You say to people, take it easy, go, research, study, and look for a place, a ma'wa, if you can find it, ilja, ilayhi, and you may Allah help your situation. But I personally don't tell people just to go anywhere. I don't tell people to go to Egypt. I don't tell people, as I heard one of the brothers say the other day, when the people were discussing the condition of the Muslims in Britain, in England, their children are growing up and they need some education. And this is an amazing thing as well, how we have a lot of time to sit and to make a lot of philosophical discussion about this and this and this and this. The dawah is this, the dawah that, this asul and this asul and this qa'ida and this is the fara and this. We have a lot of time for that. But developing schools for our children? No, this is not from the dawah. Anyway, the brother said, when it came to that question, they were making this big discussion. The jilbab should be one whole jilbab. To have it cut is not the sunnah. Okay, you want to make a scholastic discussion? That's beautiful. But now, how much time are we going to spend on issues like that, and how much time are we going to spend on issues like, how are we going to educate our children? You going to tell me, send them to Yemen? Yeah, what do you mean, send my child to Yemen? What? Where are you living? Send them to Sheikh Muqbil in Yemen. والله بالشيخ على رأس العين يا شيخ والله نرفعه. We will raise the Sheikh, love and honor the Sheikh and the students of the Sheikh and the children of the Sheikh and the kutub of the Sheikh. But at the same time, come on, Akhi, what are you talking about? Whose child can be sent to another country to get educated like that? You understand? So we're not going to tell people just to make hijrah like that without any system, without any effort. And those people who think that they can't make it, Allah musta'an. Wa huwa al-mushtaqa. May Allah Ta'ala help this situation. Naam, Akhi Abdul Karim.
Two questions based on what you were saying. How about, like, when you're a hustler, say you're a hustler, right? And you change with it. You go out there and you buy, like, the clothes or the kufar. You know, these ain't no Muslim clothes that you sell. You go and get their stuff, you know, all these different name brands that they got, all their different stuff, and you take it. Your thing is to sell that stuff exactly to the kufar. You see what I'm saying? How about that? And based on what you were saying. And the other thing is, how about if you go and, like you were saying, vending that, for example, at the Million Man Mark, right? How about if you go to somewhere, like you have a conference, you know there's going to be a lot of people there, but you know that conference itself is not calling to the Quran and Sunnah, which is actually not calling people to the way of Allah, really.
Right. Obviously, concerning participating in the conferences and those other things, it's going to be determined by how much evil is going to come out as a result of what's going on. The kuffar, Million Man March, and this and that, it's not like Isna. And anyone who compares the two is oppressive. Isna, it's not like Isna or Ayana. And it's another amazing thing is how certain Muslims want to look at Ayana, who clearly have some problems with the way that they align themselves against the ulama, or they align themselves with people who are against the ulama. Clearly, you shouldn't participate with ayana and those people like that. But at the same time, a man wants to go make money. He's a hustler and he's working for that which is halal. He's going to go to the ayana conference where the people are Muslims, trying to just go listen, whatever. He wants to make money from the Muslims. He said, this is one of the halal means. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. But with the condition that he should try to bring some dawah if he can, dawah materials, give dawah, make the amr bin ma'ruf and the nahy an munkar and things of this nature. As for the other thing, which was what?
Like you were saying about the, I was just saying, like, when you're out there selling stuff, particularly for
the, as for selling those things like Tommy Hill, Gucci, and that kind of stuff, well, I don't agree with people who buy that, like the Muslim people who buy that. A lot of times those people, only most of the time, ignorant people buy that stuff. The Tommy Hilfiger t-shirt cost $15, and all he did was go get another t-shirt that was ready to hang his t-shirt, Freedom Loom's t-shirt, and he put Tommy Hill on, and then you got to pay $10 more, $13 more than what it's really costing. So how the man going to, you know, sell those kind of things? And then we find the Muslim people dressing and resembling those people. So I see that as being highly disliked and unfavorable in the religion of Islam. But I'm not going to say that it's haram to sell Tommy Hill and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to say that. Nah,
what did you say?
Maslaha?
Maslaha.
Maslaha means benefit. The benefit of something. From the word salih. Salaha. You know the name salih?
Yes.
Aslahakallah. When a person sneezes, a chew says, Alhamdulillah. Because when he hears him says, Yarhamakallah, he says, Yahdikumullah wa yuslihu ba'lakum. Yuslihu, may Allah make your situation well. That word maslaha is from this. Now, Akhi.